The Israel Report with Roly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Hello, Roline. Shavua Tov. How are you doing?
Shavua Tov. How? I'm always so excited to start my week off by speaking to you.
Awesome. Do we have any good news coming out of Israel?
You know, the good news we do have coming out of Israel is that Conan O'Brien seems to have fallen absolutely in love with Israel.
And I think everybody's fallen in love with Conan O'Brien. I've never seen a reaction like this in my life. He is everywhere. He's mingling amongst the people. He's at the Kotel. He's on the Tel Aviv beachfront. He's having picnics. He's going to people's homes for coffee. The guy is he's a proper social butterfly.
And he's also, kol hakavod to him, he trained with the Karakal, one of our elite female combat units. I mean, I can barely lift a weapon. I can barely lift a shoe. And there he was training with these amazing ladies. But you know what? This is a big lesson in, and I hate the word.
What word?
In Hasbara. In Hasbara. This was not organized by any major Israeli agency. This was his people organizing a trip, and he did what I believe every single person should do when they come to Israel. Look, I mean, I think everybody would love to meet and spend time with Gal Gadot, and that's not possible all the time.
He came,
he saw for himself, he went to see holy sites, he spoke to the people.
Absolutely.
And that, to me, is the trick.
Yeah, he really – it was just amazing. From the minute he arrived, he joined a family for a little picnic on one of the pavements of Tel Aviv. It was just incredible to see his attitude. And anyone who doesn't know him, he's a talk show host and very funny, sometimes very cynical. And you just saw a different side to him when during this trip to Israel.
Well, he's now, as he says, 62% hummus.
I thought that was wonderful.
Says, and this is what we constantly advocate, Howard, you and I, is that people need to come to Israel and see for themselves,
absolutely,
including those that are extremely critical of the country. Because when you visit the country, you understand it geographically, socio-politically. You understand that it's not just column inches in a newspaper. Mm. It is very nuanced, and the people, you know, make the country. Also, we call him the Great Orange. He also went up north to Ziv Hospital, and his opinion is that the doctors who are looking after Syrians should be awarded the Nobel Prize.
Absolutely right, and certainly at least they are doing something to help the Syrian refugees. Let's talk about something more unpleasant, and that is the Students for Justice in Palestine in California. Bring us up to speed on what's going on there.
Well, they have been sanctioned and served with disciplinary probation for 2 academic years for disrupting an event held by the pro-Israel student group on campus, and this was earlier this year. So students supporting Israel, which is obviously a pro-Israel organization, they held a discussion in conjunction with the group Reservists on Duty. And for those of you who don't know Reservists on Duty are RDF reservists who tour around the world and specifically here the United States, and they tell their truth. They kind of are the antidote to breaking the silence. And a discussion or attempts to hold a discussion aimed at exposing and countering the BDS movement were held at the University of California, Irvine, and they were disrupted by about 30 pro-Palestinian students from the Students for Justice in Palestine who came in, and they were saying, Israel, what did you say? How many people did you kill today? Free Palestine. They got aggressive, and I think this has exposed something that we know all too well about these kind of groups, is that they resort to intimidation tactics and even violence sometimes to get their point across. And I'm very, very glad to see that the University of California, which in the past has been known to not exactly be a hotbed or allow for much discourse for pro-Israel students. I'm glad that they are doing something. I hope that this example is followed by other universities. You know, I've said it before, I've written about it before, and we've discussed, you know, the whole concept of safe spaces that on universities today, that seems to be the very, very sexy soundbite. But there doesn't seem to be safe spaces for pro-Israel or Jewish students. And I would actually ask people to read an article that I've shared from Tablet Magazine on my Facebook page. It is called Young Anti-Zionist Jews Claim to Speak for My Generation. They don't, and it's time we call them on it. And I know people have said uneducated, ignorant, imbeciles, but there's something deeper there that we need to understand before we just call them names or attack them, and that is to understand the very, very hostile environment on campus, and sometimes how being anti-Zionist actually gives you social points, that you're not a social outcast because you're seen as supporting the popular opinion.
You know, it's actually a terrible thing that I'm going to say, and I really wish somebody would stop me. But anytime, Rolit, anytime. But
I'm waiting for you to say it. I can't stop you if you're not going to say it.
I genuinely find, and I'm just, this is between me and you, I'm not telling anyone else, is I so often find that Jews that support the anti-Israel agenda are more often than not social misfits. They haven't fitted in into a Jewish environment. They feel somehow alienated or wronged, or they might even be ugly. I shouldn't say that. That's probably, Sasha's actually gasping because she wants me to stop right now. But there's something not okay about it. And I don't know what it is that so often we find that those from the community who criticize and who go out to deliberately gain attention for the criticism of Israel have had something. There's a reason that isn't political that they might do so. Does that sound terribly shallow and awful?
It doesn't. I think that there is definitely an element of truth to that, because I think that they enjoy the notoriety of being against the establishment. Maybe they're against communal organizations, which they see as the establishment.
I mean, do you think Ronnie Castro has friends?
A lot of it is fear-based energy. And what they don't realize is that they are actually – they're not respected for their stance amongst the people that they purport to serve. In fact, it's been told to me on numerous occasions when I've said, you know, but there are Jews speaking out for you. They say, we don't respect them. And they serve an end. So for those of you who are saying, you know, I'm not a Zionist because you want to fit in, you are just fodder. You are fodder for the breakdown in discourse, and you are fodder to be exploited.
Absolutely, absolutely right. I'd love your thoughts on that. 34519 or 0621482374. Are we being just unnecessarily, unnecessarily awful? Can we just talk about North Korea for one moment? The former intelligence of IDF, the former intelligence IDF chief, has backed an attack on North Korea. This is quite scary.
This is quite scary, and here's what my thoughts are. My thoughts are is that Israel is going to watch to see how the Trump administration deal with North Korea. First of all, because it's a major security threat to the whole world, but also because it might be the litmus test for how the Trump administration or administrations after that deal with Iran. These are my thoughts. And the former head of Israel's military intelligence, Amos Yadlin, says that he backs some kind of preemptive strike against North Korea. But he says that this needs to be contingent on the ability to destroy all of Pyongyang's nuclear weapons capacity in the process. And I think that this is also saying, you know, should this be successful, maybe it will be able to destroy all of Tehran's nuclear weapons. And he says that in order to do so, the Americans need absolutely excellent intelligence. And the question is, does America have the intelligence to allow it to carry out a preemptive strike that will destroy all of North Korea's nuclear capabilities?
Absolutely fascinating. I can't imagine what's going on in the mind of the North Korean leader. I just can't imagine where he sees this ending. What does he hope to achieve? It's not as though he's genocidal in terms religiously. He values the death by martyrdom. I find it completely fascinating.
Perhaps we should ask Dennis.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking at some of the SMSs. Maybe they have been shunned from the Jewish community. That's the comment that I made earlier, for a variety of reasons, i.e. lack of knowledge, not being religious enough, and have found acceptance in anti-Zionist groups. Absolutely. I think that is a possibility. Michael from Galliman is saying spot on, 100% hard truth, very perceptive. Thank you, Michael. And unsigned saying if Obama was negotiating with North Korea, he'd send them a plane load full of cash. I think that might be why the situation is as what it is in the first place. So, Rolini, any sense of where this is going, this North Korean story?
Well, can I just throw in a spinner
sure.
with regards to the comments about anti-Zionist Jews? I'm a big believer in discussion. Mm-hmm. I think that there's space enough in the tent for all of us. And maybe we do need to have these very, very uncomfortable discussions with our co-religionists who are maybe veering over towards the anti-Zionist side. Maybe we need to speak to them calmly and rationally. Let me repeat that. Calmly and rationally, so we can get their perspective, we can understand why they're feeling what they're feeling, and also educate them without pointing fingers or playing blame politics.
So I'd love to be able to do that, and I've often thought even of having them on the show. The issue is very, very simply is if it's just a discussion in rhetoric and you can't actually get to have a real discussion, because I find so much of this type of language is just filled with just hate. I've got something so interesting. There's something called Salon.com. It's an American Jewish website, and a friend of mine sent me an article this morning, and I'm bringing it up here just to show the way in which things are now be the level that people are stooping to. And the article is titled Eight Reasons Jared and Ivanka Are Useless and Detestable as Anyone in the White House. That's the heading of the article. I'm going to read you a few of them. Number one, and it goes into a whole thing. I'm just reading you the headings. They're kind of jerks. Okay, number one. Number two, Ivanka has a nickname she definitely didn't choose herself, Princess Royal. Number three, their inflated sense of self-importance, lack of political experience, and inability to recognize either have made them universally disliked in Washington. How can you be universal in Washington? I don't know. Number four is their inexperience is apparent in their efforts. Number five is they have no real pull in the White House. Number six, they have lost credibility with pro-environment business and Silicon Valley executive. Number seven, they are loathed by society. And number eight, their brand is the most important thing to them. That is an article. That is an article. And I went into the comments because I was hopeful that their readers would call them out and say, oh, no, this is just appalling. And it's the same kind of playground silly stuff. So my worry is if this is the level of dialogue and discussion with left-wing Jews, and then where does it go?
And just as people who do write predominantly for a living, both you and I, mm-hmm. this kind of writing is so irresponsible, and it's just appalling. I'm saddened that publications are prepared to publish such drivel.
Well, they seem to do so quite proudly, and that's my issue, you know. And talking about one of the discussions we wanted to have was the reemergence of the super anti-Zionists in South Africa.
Well, yeah, and that is a very important discussion, because they've been dormant for quite a while. Mm-hmm. In fact, you and I have questioned, like, where did some of these protagonists disappear to? And here they are. I mean, we Ronnie Cashels was on Al Jazeera. You can look out for a response by Israel Link to that one as well, coming out soon. We discussed Zaki Ahmed, and we've had him. We've discussed him at length. And they've been quiet or dormant for a while, and now all of a sudden they are resurfacing. And to me, it's a very interesting trend.
Well, I think I'll tell you why, Rolene. It's actually quite simple. Last week, Sasha was giving us the Star Report, and she was telling us about some sex scandal leak. Sasha, who was it? Somebody leaked tapes of some sex scandal last week in your Star Report.
All the naked pictures.
Yes, who was that?
Oh, a celebrity had...
No, not the website. No. Which person was it? Which celebrity was it?
Oh, I think it was... there was Miley Cyrus on there.
Yeah, so they're all there. And what I said to Sasha at the time was the minute their careers are dipping somewhat, slightly, they've got to do something to put themselves back in the public spotlight. And so they have a leak, and all of a sudden they... they're all over the news. And I think it's the same as Ronnie Castrels. He's totally irrelevant. He's totally irrelevant. He doesn't have an look. He never really had an intelligent word to say about anything. He has even less relevance than he used to have. So all of a sudden he's on Al Jazeera talking about Israel. Of course, that's the only reason he could get onto Al Jazeera. Who else wants to hear his view on anything else but Israel?
Well, can I just say that please, do not leak a sex tape or naked pictures of him.
Of Ronnie Castrels. Oh, my word, I'm now breathless. Oh, gosh, no, Rolene, yeah. It's not Whiskey Thursday.
That could cap this discussion on irrelevant people.
Absolutely. Where does one go from here? Time is 5:28 and a half, and I'm left speechless. Just imagining Ronnie Kestrel and his leaked sex tapes. Gosh, could it get any worse than that? Rolene Marks, we'll speak to you tomorrow afternoon. Same time, same place. We're going to play an ad while we pull ourselves together.